So John 1 and page 8 in the service booklet. Let me pray and pray for God's help to understand what we're going to look at together. Father God, thank you very much for the Bible, your word to us. Please help us now as we look at it together. Help us to learn together, to understand what you want to say to us. Help us, please. Amen. Now, it has to be said, I think, that we've rarely approached a new year, perhaps outside a time of war, with such a sense of uncertainty, such a sense of trepidation, even of fear. Now, whether that's down to Brexit or Trump, the economy or terrorism, it's interesting that nobody seems to have any idea about what's going to happen in the year ahead. Even the experts who may know, well, as you probably know, we've decided that we don't trust experts anymore, so we won't be listening to them. And if the polls are right, most of us think that it's all going to end badly. Welcome to a new year. In fact, 2016 seems to have upset everything. We really don't know where and even when it's all going to end. Uncertainty. And then strikingly, if you read the newspapers, people seem to have been unnerved by the number of celebrities who've died. I don't know if you noticed that, but the newspapers, the news bulletins, they've been full of it. So David Bowie and Victoria Wood, Alan Rickman, Prince, Terry Wogan, Ronnie Corbett, their deaths have dominated the news. And of course, those uncertainties which touch on life and death play into our own uncertainties. Will our pension, will our savings last us out? Yeah, that's a real big question, isn't it, for some people? Will our savings last longer than we will? Big issue. Our health. What will those test results show? How will that treatment work? And what about those family relationships that we struggle with, that, you know, that are real issue every time we think about them? And the children and their issues. We're living in an incredibly uncertain world. But it's a world in which we long for certainty. See, there's the problem. It's an uncertain world, and we're desperate for certainty, for concrete, guaranteed hope. Now, of course, along the way, there are lots of things that appear to promise at the beginning of a new year, that promise to lift our spirits and give us some hope. You know, knowing that there's going to be yet another Star Wars movie. One a year or something. So Rory's excited. Knowing that Chelsea may be on course to win the Premier League. Some people maybe. Anybody excited by that? Just got one voice down here. I think. Okay, so nobody much likes Chelsea around here. Knowing that Trump probably won't turn out to be as bad as everybody thinks he will. But then again, none of those things are actually certain, are they? None of them. Even if they do happen in 2016, just as 17, just as quickly, the world will have moved on and there'll be more uncertainty. So, welcome, Happy New Year. Welcome to 2017. Welcome to the world as it is, as it's always been, uncertain. But then just have a look at these words, because they're brilliant. It's John who's writing, and John, he's an eyewitness to the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And in the light of that, in the light of what he's seen and heard, this is what he says. Look at verse 12. So down, nearly to the bottom of that first column, verse 12, this is what John says. Yet to all who received him, and he's talking about Jesus, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now there it is. In the face of so much that's uncertain, here is cast iron, guaranteed certainty. Whatever 2017 may hold for us, whatever God may have planned for us, here is deep security. Here is confidence, here is hope. The right to become children of God. Now, I'm going to assume this morning that I am talking to quite a wide range of people. That many of you will be here as those who know and love Jesus. You're believers, you're Christians in the real sense of that word. You're those who identify with Jesus. Your allegiance belongs to him. But then there'll be others of you here this morning, and it's really good that you're here. Maybe you've come along because you came to a carol service, and you've come back for another look. Or because you've been invited to Jacob's baptism. Or because you thought, well, it's a new year, let's go and see what those guys do at the end of the high streets. Well, wherever we are on that spectrum, John has something to say to us about certainty, about security. And interestingly, it's got nothing to do with the things that we're probably worried about. It's got nothing to do with wealth, that the size of our bank balance. It's got nothing to do with popularity, how many friends we've got. It's got nothing to do with success, how many exams we have or haven't passed. And it's got nothing to do with our health either. Joining the gym to work off the Christmas excess will not help you at this point. I'm so relieved. You won't catch me near a gym. Now, what John is talking about is guaranteed membership of God's family. Do you see that? To all who received him, to all who received Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right, cast iron guarantee, the right to become children of God. So there you are. If you're here as a believer, if you're someone who knows and loves Jesus, and someone asks you, do you belong to God's family, without a second thought, you can say yes. Because of Jesus, God is my Father, my Heavenly Father, and I am loved by him as his child. Without a second thought, you can say that. You see, if you know and love Jesus, you have absolutely no doubt at all about your identity, who you are. Child of God. Fantastic. Child of God. And that means a couple of other certain things as well. Equally, you'd have absolutely no doubt about your future either. So leave this building, and should you be unfortunate enough to walk under the number 25 bus as it hurtles down the high street, unlikely prospect, I know, especially at the moment, you'd have absolutely no doubt about where you were going, and it isn't Eastbourne. You'd be going to be with Jesus, child of God. Cast iron guaranteed certainty about the future. Like a child on the final day of school before the summer holidays, rushing home for the welcome of home and holiday and all that lies ahead. Last night, a good friend to some of us died very suddenly. And this morning, a number of us are really sad, and very sad for the family and the community that's facing that loss. But they'll be facing it in the sure and certain knowledge of where he's gone, to be with his Lord, the Lord he served, the Lord he honoured, cast iron, guaranteed certainty. No doubt about who we are, no doubt about the future. And of course, if we can be certain with Jesus about who we are and about where we're going, we can be certain about what life is all about until we get there. I mean, think about it. What do little children do in their best, I say best moments? What do they, little children in their best moments want to do? But to please mum and dad. So Christians living to please our Heavenly Father, to serve our Lord Jesus. Do you see, there's a meaning, there's a purpose to what happens on Monday morning. As a child of God, I'm living for my Father. I'm serving in the family business. I'm telling the world about how brilliant my dad is. Certainty about who we are, about where we're going, about what life's meant to be all about. Now, of course, that certainty is often very far from our normal experience. Even those of us who are real Christians, we're often diffident, often we lack confidence, often we're full of doubts, often we're worried that if we say this, we'll sound arrogant. Well, just look at verse 12 again. It's not presumptuous, it's not arrogant at all, because what we're talking about is a gift. He gave, Jesus gave the right to become children of God to all who believed in him. He gave. So there's no presumptuous at all, because it's nothing to do with us in the first place. It's about him. It so happens I've got my birth certificate here. Hey. Lots of searching last night to try and find it at the bottom of the filing cabinet. It says 27th of August. 20. Oh, did I read that a bit quickly? 27th of August, 1954. To Edward John and Kathleen Joyce, a son, David James. It declares. That certificate declares with absolute certainty that I belong to the Bourne family. No doubt about it. Now, obviously, Jason had a problem with his identity, but I don't. Sorry if that's lost on you. Ask Rory afterwards. But with exactly the same confidence, because of Jesus. Because not of a certificate, but because of the promises that Jesus makes, because of the gift that Jesus gives, I can put my name into verse 12. Do you want to see how that works? Look at verse 12. Yet to David, who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become a child of God. And you can put your name in there too. If you choose to receive and believe in Jesus. So the really arrogant thing would be not to believe a promise of Jesus, wouldn't it? That would be the arrogant thing. Not to believe him. Not to receive the gift he gives. But this is brilliant. As I look forward to 2017 and all the uncertainties of the year ahead, as a Christian, I can look ahead to this coming year with absolute confidence, no matter what happens. This is not about, you know, I'm trusting in Jesus that it'll all be hunky-dory. That is not what we're saying. What we're saying is that I can look forward with confidence no matter what, because I know who I am. I'm a child of my Heavenly Father, and my Heavenly Father loves me. And I know where I belong. I'm a member of his family. And I know what I'm meant to be doing. Living to please my Father. Living as one of the King's kids on Monday morning. And I know where I'm going. One day to be with him forever. And all of that is guaranteed. It's nothing to do with me. It's guaranteed by somebody else. It's guaranteed by Jesus. And he signed it and sealed it when he died on a cross. And that, friends, is absolutely brilliant, isn't it? that you crave certainty in this uncertain world? Here it is. And all because of Jesus. And that assurance, that certainty is on offer to all. In part, John is writing this because he wants everyone else to grasp what he's grasped, to enjoy the peace and hope and security that he enjoys. He doesn't want any of us to miss out on it, but to be confident and full of hope, whatever lies ahead, because of Jesus. It's a certain opportunity. But maybe you're thinking, hang on a minute. I thought that we were all members of God's family. Well, no. Here's the inescapable offence of what John has to say. Look at verse 10 and 11, and then at verse 13. Look at verse 10. Now, we're used to dividing up the world, aren't we, in all sorts of ways. So we can divide people by nations, the country that they come from, or the language they speak, or the religion they follow. And John does the same. He divides people up. But look at what he says. Verse 10, he, Jesus, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Now, he's not talking about the world as the planet, but the people. The whole human race. That's what he's talking about. And he says the whole human race, they're not naturally children of God because of their response to God's coming. Because we chose to ignore him. We didn't recognize him. We kept him at arm's length. We'd rather ignore him rather than embrace him. John says our attitude gives the game away, that we're not naturally children of God. And then verse 11, he says, Jesus, he came to that which was his own. He's talking about the Jewish people of the first century, those who'd received all those Old Testament promises that Jesus would come, and they were meant to live to show the world how good it was to live in relationship with God. But they didn't receive him either. You see, there's the offence. Well, you call it the offence of Christmas, if you like. The offence of God's coming. Our response. So there's the first part of the division. Humanity, Jew and Gentile alike, rejecting Jesus. But then he says, whether Jew or non-Jew, those who did receive him, he gave to them the right to become children of God. So in the end, says John, there are only two kinds of people in the world. That makes it much simpler, doesn't it? Only two kinds of people in the world. And it all depends on our attitude to Jesus. That's the dividing line. He clarifies that. Look at verse 13. He's already told us we're disqualified from being children of God. We can't earn membership of God's family. We don't deserve membership of God's family. And you look at the negatives. He says, you know, being a child of God, it's not about being born of natural descent. It doesn't come in the genes. We don't inherit it. It's not about being born in the right place or at the right time or going to the right school. Nothing to do with that. It's not down to human decision. Not about what I do, giving to charity, going to church, getting confirmed, being the vicar. None of those things qualify you to be a child of God. One more negative, it's not passed on by our parents, not by a husband's will. We can't inherit membership of this family. And we might add, not by baptism either. Now, this morning in our service, just to make this clear, having the children of believers baptized is brilliant. It's a huge privilege for children to grow up with parents who will teach them God's promises and bring them up as members of the family. But as we said in our service, it's not magic. It's not automatic. Our children who've been baptized still need to grow up and embrace for themselves the gift of Jesus if they're to enjoy the full security and blessing of being a child of God. They've got to say yes as well. You see, put it very simply. If Jesus is who he says he is, then my response to Jesus will indicate which family I belong to. And my natural response, says John, the response of the whole world, our natural response is to keep Jesus at arm's length. Especially when I think about his power and his authority. Because do you know what? The last thing I want, the last thing you want, is somebody else telling you what to do. Isn't that right? What do you hate most? Somebody else has ignored that. I mean, that may be between the two of you. You don't want anybody else telling you what to do, do you? Which is why we keep Jesus at arm's length. Because if Jesus is who he says he is, then he has the right to rule our lives. He's the right to be in charge. But if I can keep him just as a kind of extra in the film, a bit part player of no real significance, then I, of course, I don't need to take him seriously. I don't need to listen to what he says. But if I do that, if I keep him on the margin, however politely, I will remain outside of the family. I cannot be part of the family if Jesus is just a bit player, an extra, who pops up now and again. If he's that, then I won't know the certainty of life and death in the future that he longs for me to enjoy. It's only when I'm ready to receive him as the star of the film, as the unrivaled king with authority over my life, only I'm ready for Jesus to take center stage, only then will I welcome him and receive him and believe in his name. See, that little phrase, in his name, is crucial. It means receiving Jesus not as the figure on the margin, but in his name means his total character, who he is. It means receiving Jesus as the Lord, the Master, the King, your God, my God. Not a peripheral figure that I can choose to ignore as I please. In his name. A certain opportunity then. The certainty of knowing that I'm secure and loved and welcomed, a child of God. But the inescapable offense, we're actually not naturally children of God. Which just comes back to the amazing invitation. And first of all, that amazing invitation, I think, is a challenge to those of us who are Christians. To those of us who know and love Jesus, who are real believers. And here's the challenge. Let me ask you, how will you see yourself in 2017? What are you, first and foremost? How do you describe, how do you introduce yourself? I mean, do you say, you know, I'm a mom, I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm a teacher, I'm a farmer, I'm a church warden, I'm a vicar. How do you think of yourself? When you go to, if you're out at work on Monday, or if you're meeting folk on Monday morning, who are you? Who are you in the classroom? Who are you in the office? Are you manager, secretary, tea boy, dog's body, also ran? What are you? Child of God. That's our identity. None of those other things are about who we really are. Child of God, a son of the Father, a co-heir with Jesus, with a greater security and a higher status and a deeper love than anything that this world can possibly offer us, and with the certainty that membership of this family lasts forever. Here's a certainty that will change everything. It will fill us full of gratitude. After all, it's not about us. It's what Jesus has done. We've got so much to be thankful for. Full of joy. Full of purpose. Longing to serve him. challenge to us as Christian people to go into 2017 with all its uncertainties, with our heads held high, because we're the King's kids. We are kids of the King. You can't get better than that, can you? I mean, another way of talking about a king's kid is being a prince, isn't it? Hey, that's got to be good. Children of the Father, because of the amazing gift of Jesus. And can I say to us, I think John intends that that certainty should dispel our fears. Uncertainty, the things we're not sure of, gives rise to so much anxiety. Anxiety that cripples us. Fear. But Jesus offers real certainty in the things that actually matter most. Who are we? What are we meant to be doing? And where are we going? So if you're a Christian, here's my challenge to you. With a smile on our face, with a spring in our step, no matter whether Brexit means Brexit or Donald gets trumped, with a smile in our face, because Jesus has won. And Jesus gives the right, the certainty of being a child of God. And if you're here this morning and you're at the other end of the spectrum, and maybe you're thinking, oh, well, I'm not sure about this stuff the vicar's going on about, and whether it makes any sense at all, and whether it's really for you. Yeah, I get that. All I would say to you is, with such an offer on the table from Jesus, can you really afford not to take another look? Can you really afford not to investigate and find out more? And we'd love to help you to do that. And Rory's actually putting on a new course, starting on Tuesday, just for that. To help us find our way to discover more of Jesus. Because at the end of the day, it is all down to him. So there you go. In an uncertain world, the promise of certainty. So with heads held high, let's march into 2017 as the King's kids. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the amazing truths we've looked at here this morning, for the wonderful things that Jesus has promised. Lord, please help us to embrace that certainty for ourselves, to take hold of Jesus, to trust him, to make him center stage, to let him be Lord and Master in our lives, that we might know the peace and the hope that he brings. In Jesus' name, amen.